Listen, as we head into this new year, I don't know about you, but how many of you have maybe gone and started cleaning out some things in your home? Yeah, kind of an early spring cleaning, winter cleaning. Felt like spring, two or three weeks ago, so you kind of had this idea that, you know, the flowers are coming up, so we might as well start throwing stuff away. As we kick off this series, maybe you're kind of thinking, gosh, what kind of series could be waste management? But as we think about heading into the new year, as we've had a couple of Sundays of just talking about preparing mentally and understanding spiritually who we are in Christ, and then just kind of thinking about the days ahead, days of decision that we talked about last week, that we have before us this open slate of decisions that we can make as followers of Christ, and for even some of us that might be here today that are seeking, they're trying to figure out who Jesus is, and this whole God thing is maybe a little bit of a mystery to you. And so we just want you to know, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, we are glad that you are here. And so as we kick off waste management, really we're going to talk about some things that maybe as you go into the new year, you try to figure out. Like, how do I spend my time better? How do I spend my resources, my relationships, the assets and the things that God has blessed me with? But today we're going to kind of kick it off with one that talks about just a big picture of, what does God's Word have to say about this question of how do I not waste my life? How to live a life that when you get to the end of it, however long that is, only God knows that, but when you get to the end of it, you wouldn't look back and go, gosh, did my life matter? Did it make a difference? And so, listen, each one of us will have to answer that question, but today as we look in Luke chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 21, going to be looking at a story, a narrative of Jesus as he was here on earth and really gives us a picture of what it looks like not to have a life that is wasted. So listen, as we think about waste and I've been to the landfill here in Bartow County. It's going to be kind of weird, but you got a really nice landfill here. I know that sounds strange to say, but it's really nice. Many of you may not realize it in my business life, I was in the garbage business. You know, I was someone that went out and talked trash every day. So I ended up in the ministry, of course, you know, talking trash. And so, I'm interested in things like that and checking that landfill out. But I've always noticed something about landfills. They never put them next to Walmart. They never put them next to Target. But do you understand the correlation? What starts in Target ends up where? The landfill. The waste. And so listen, this is a picture of what our stuff that we purchase at some point, ultimately its ending destination is waste. Wasted. Things eventually just wear out. And so we don't want our life to have anything resembling this at all when it comes to being a follower of Christ. And even if you're not a follower of Christ, all of us want to have a life. It's just put in us because of God's law written upon our hearts that we want our life to matter. You know, we want to know, does somebody think that we are significant? And of course, we know that God says that we are. And so listen, the definition of waste is this. I want you to get this. And I think it's important as we go through it, especially through this series over the next 3 weeks after this week, is to consume or spend uselessly without adequate return is one definition. And another definition of something that is waste is something that does not satisfy. Does not satisfy. And today we're going to look at this big idea of, as we are going through this life, what is it that we are striving for to give us significance, to give us satisfaction, happiness, all the things that seem elusive, and many times we're reaching out to find those things. Now listen, I totally get it. That sometimes when you hear something like this, some of you might begin to want to, you've been through this, you've heard this before, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you not to check out. I'm going to ask you to come every single week because the things we're going to talk about will make a significant difference in your life. Now, what I've noticed is this. And it reminds me of when I fly. You know, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've probably flown the most that I have, even in my previous work experience, just going on mission trips. And I don't know about you. How many of you fly a lot in here? Some of you? Okay. How many of you have seen an airplane before? Okay, we just want to make sure we're all on the same page, all right? So as you get on there, there's something that happens. You sit down, and listen, I've noticed things, you know, you're very observant. I've noticed some things, that the seats are getting smaller. It's not me, by the way. They're not getting bigger. The seats are getting smaller. The chicken, the beef, and the pasta all look the same. How they've done that, I don't know. And I've also noticed something else, that when the flight attendant begins to do her thing, guess what happens? We all quit listening. She's telling us information that could save our life in the event of an emergency. And what do? We all get our phones out. We all begin to kind of check out because we think, that could never happen to me. Or it's not information that I need. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to think it's just another series of something to do for life. I'm telling you, I want you to stay focused. But not only that, think of somebody in your life that might need to hear this, that you could bring with them over the next 3 weeks as we talk about time, as we talk about relationships, as we talk about opportunities, wasted opportunities. And so I want you to remember this lady, you know, doing that and not checking out. Because I remember, you know, one time as I was sitting there, and if you've flown, the best place to get in coach for legs is the emergency exit, because you get like an extra foot of space. The only challenge is that the flight attendant is going to come up and say, are you willing, in the event of an emergency, to stay on the plane, open the door, make sure everybody else gets out? And for the leg room, you say yes, and then you really begin to think about what she just said. And I remember I was on a plane, and I'm sitting there, and for the very first time, I begin to ask the question, what if this plane went down? What would people think about my life? Would it have been wasted? Would it have been a life of seeking after my own wants and desires? Or would it have been a life that people would say, man, it was lived well? That he lived his life focused upon what really mattered. And so, as we jump into our story here, really, I just want you to know something, that sitting in this crowd today, there are really three kinds of people. And everybody's going to interpret things a little bit different based on where they are in life. We have, you know, the young, we have the youth, and those that are, you know, maybe early 20s and maybe, you know, newlyweds, whatever. And so, you know, they're looking at life this way, like everything's ahead of them. And they're just excited. They don't even know what they're excited about. They're just excited. The possibilities seem unlimited. And then there's, on the other spectrum, those maybe who are stepping into retirement, who are already retired, older in life, and they're asking the question, so what's next? What's next for me? And then there's the rest of us. We're in the middle. We're just doing life. It's busy. It's hectic. Kids, college, all the things, mortgages, all the things that are happening. And sometimes we can get caught in the middle. Listen, we started out the young looking forward, and before you know it, we got a job, a mortgage, kids, and before you know it, 20 years has gone by. Is it not the way it happens? It does. And sometimes you can just ask the question, is my life making a difference? I don't want to have a wasted life. I don't think you want to have a wasted life. As we look at the story, we see that Jesus in Luke chapter 12, he's teaching, he's in the midst of his ministry, and at the very beginning, 12:1, it says that there are thousands of people listening to Jesus preach. This isn't a small gathering. Jesus is preaching to these people, and right in the middle of his message, an argument breaks out. Kind of sounds like church, doesn't it? And so, right in the middle of the message that Jesus has, these two brothers begin to argue over an inheritance. You know, they're missing the message that Jesus is there, and suddenly they're so consumed with everything that's going on. And so, in Luke chapter 12, starting verse 13, here's what it says. It says, and picture Jesus teaching, and right in the middle of him speaking, here's what happens. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And you can just almost imagine Jesus almost like in the middle of a sentence, like turning to face this person. And I love Jesus, man. He just kind of smacks him down a little bit. Like, you know, he's like, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? You see, Jesus is kind of asking the question, listen, why are you stopping what is happening right here to ask a question about an inheritance? But you can just imagine, they've seen Jesus. He's wise. He seems to have a lot of answers. And suddenly they're arguing while he's preaching. And suddenly they just stands up. He says, well, let's just ask him. And they're like, hey, Jesus, what? This guy will not give me my inheritance. And Jesus, rather than answering, he gives them two important truths. It's almost like he kind of stops and he realizes the crowd now is focused upon what is happening. And he realizes this is a teachable moment in the lives of not only these two guys, but the entire crowd. And here's what Jesus says in Luke 12:15. He says, watch out. And then he gives a double warning. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And then, as Jesus could do like no other, he sums up a nugget of truth that we can sink our teeth into for the rest of our lives into this statement. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You see, Jesus is saying, listen, be very careful. Be on guard, because you are about to live a wasted life. You're about to focus on the wrong thing in your life, and you're going to get to the end of it having leaned your ladder up on one wall when it should have been on the other wall, climbing that ladder to realize at the very last minute it was the wrong one. Jesus says, be very, very careful. Jesus says, listen, be careful of the treasure trap. Now please understand, I am not opposed to money, to possessions, to all the things that are there in the context of understanding their importance in our life. Please don't leave here today and say that Pastor Ron doesn't want people to buy things and to do those things. Listen, I like nice things just like the next person. But I also realize in my life that I can fall into the trap that Jesus is talking here. He's giving this double warning. And he's saying, listen, he says, you know, be careful of the treasure trap, because the trap is that if I begin to think that this stuff, this possessions, money, security, all those things is what I should be striving after in my life and spending all my energy upon, then I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to end up with a life looking back and saying, was my life wasted? But, you know, the reality is that, you know, this statement rocked the world of even these two guys and the people that were listening, because of the fact that, just like us, what they did is they looked around and equated happiness, success, you know, importance, all those things based on what they saw. You know, we see celebrities driving around in these nice cars and going to these exotic places, and we think, man, they got it made. They must be happy. They must be really fulfilled. And I don't know. I can't speak for them where they are, but Jesus says, no, it's not what we should strive after. Listen, so many times, even in our own lives, we begin to think, man, if I can just make the best grades, if I can just get a good job, if I can just find that boyfriend or girlfriend, if I can just, all these things that are not bad things. But Jesus is saying, beware, because if you move them into the place of where God should be, then suddenly you are worshiping something else, and you are going to end up at the end of your life with regret. Have you missed it? So Jesus, he gives them two in truth. He says, be careful. Watch out for this treasure trap, because in doing so, it will pull you into a life of frustration. And what's interesting is that right in the middle, rather than Jesus responding, he then turns to the crowd as Jesus would always do, and he shares a parable, a story, to illustrate the truth by which he had just said. And so here's what he says. He says, then Jesus shares, Luke 12:16-19. It says, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. And he says, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And don't you know, as Jesus was saying this, they're probably over there going, all right, I like this guy. I mean, he's saying it's all about acquiring all those things. They were all thinking, you know, all right, Jesus, you're figuring out this inheritance thing for me, and you're trying to help, and suddenly you're giving me some advice that I should just hoard it all together. But look back at what's interesting about this passage. It's all about storing stuff, isn't it? It's all about security. It's all about putting it in a place that I have control over it. Listen, the storage industry in America is booming. They're expanding one right here off of 41. The stats are staggering. As a matter of fact, there's a picture here of a storage building. And here's the stats. These are incredible. Here's what it says. There are 2 billion square feet of storage in America. 7 square feet for every man, woman, child in America right now for storing things. It's crazy. Just storing stuff and restoring stuff. And Jesus said, listen, it's not about the stuff. It's about the importance that the stuff. So here's what I want you to get. We talk about waste management. That a wasted life says that life is all about you and it's all about me. See, Jesus is illustrating something. Look back in the passage that we just talked about in 16 through 19. And if you want to in your Bible, you can, but just notice all of the different pronouns that are in this. What do we see? He says, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. I will store my grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good. Do you understand that this guy has an eye problem? Nothing wrong with the stuff. But then Jesus does something pretty amazing. I want you to get this. He tells the story and then he turns it on a dime. In Luke chapter 12, verse 20, he says, But God. You see, what seemed like the right answer in the beginning coincided with our natural tendency to want to put ourselves at the center of our lives, to create our own security, to store our own stuff. But Jesus turns and he says, but God. Turn to your neighbor and say, but God. It is. But God said to him, you fool. You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then Jesus asked the question, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Of course, we know it's the children. I'm just kidding. My dad loves to store stuff. He builds barns. This passage was for him. And I told him one day, please get rid of it. Because when you pass away, I got to get rid of it myself. I said, listen, you will barely be in the ground and you're going to hear the BFI dumpster backing up to your house. Beep, beep, beep. We can joke that way. But it's a reality for my life and for your life. Jesus says, listen, how foolish it is to spend your life chasing after things that when you are gone, you cannot take with you. Things that disintegrate. Things that end in the landfill. You see, Jesus says a wasted life is get as much as you can. If that's your focus, it's wasted. Your energy is focused on the things that are not as important. You see, for so many of us, success is different things. A good retirement. Nothing wrong with saving. Absolutely, you should do that. But our security should not be in our retirement. Our security can be in our children. Pour our lives into our children. But eventually they leave home, or at least they should. That's the goal, children. But our children, if we pour our lives, nothing wrong with that. But it's not the most important thing. We have our career. Our career is our security. But you see, it takes one phone call from a doctor to change everything. It takes one phone call from your boss to change everything. It takes the stock market taking a crash to change everything. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, don't put your faith and security in the things that are fleeting. Put your faith and trust and your security and your happiness and your joy in what is lasting. Because we don't know. We don't know. As Jesus said, your life this very night will be demanded from you. And so listen, an unwasted life says this: everything I have is given to you and to me on purpose. Have you ever thought about that? That God has given everything that we have on purpose. There's a purpose for it. God gave us our children on purpose. Sometimes we cry out, God, why? God has given us the job that we have on purpose. He's given us the money that we make on purpose. He's given us the health that we have on purpose, even when it's not good. God doesn't make us sick, but guess what? God is with you as you go through that. And so many times, whatever you are going through, whatever it is that you have, all the things that you have, Jesus is saying, listen, it's on purpose. And how do we make it on purpose? Is when we begin to realize that that's not the most important thing in our life. That as stuff comes in our life, I know some of the wealthiest people in the world who are the most unhappy. You do too. I know some of the people who sweep streets with a smile on their face, and I envy them from the happiness they show. Because they seem to have realized this truth about what makes a life successful, what makes a life that's not unwasted. And one of the things that we can do to not have an unwasted life is to realize that everything that we've been given is given to us on purpose. And so in doing so, it changes the way we see it. Changes it so that we ask the question, you know, not how can I get more, not how can I stick it in a storage place, but God, what do you want me to do with it? God, why have you blessed me with this? God, how might it be a part of what you're doing in my life and in the life of this church and in the life of the people that you have given me influence all around? See, it begins to change my perspective, and it's so healthy. Jesus talks about money almost more than anything else because he realizes that money and possessions, although they are neutral, can be so prevalent when it takes over about our focus in life. And so Jesus then ends the story this way. In Luke chapter 12, verse 21. And I want you to get this because he really talks about three people here. Three different things. He says, this is how it will be with, who's it say? Anyone. Not just certain ones. All of us who stores up things for himself, herself, but is not rich toward God. You see, we are, as followers of Christ, do you realize that we are so blessed and wealthy? We have received the riches of God's blessing in our life through His grace and His mercy. The Bible talks about, I love the language, lavished on us His love. This picture of tapestry and this amazing, you know, fancy love that God has given each one of us. He says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. It means they have their look and their eye and their focus upon waste. Because listen, it all ends up in a landfill, doesn't it? At some point. No matter where it starts. And so listen, an unwasted life, life is not about stuff. That's very simple. But it's what Jesus is saying. Life is not about your possessions. Life is a life focused upon God. We see this in the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man that really existed. A missionary saved by God. He was fighting after God, fighting to stamp out this thing called the way, Christianity. God saves him on the road to Damascus, and Paul becomes a prolific writer, missionary. He's a real person who struggles with real things. And what does he write? He's writing back to the Philippians. Now in jail, with death imminent. Do you realize that Paul now is thinking, as he said before, not my education, not my things, they're all dung, but yet I strive toward what matters. And now sitting in prison, going to have to pay the ultimate price for his faith, to put it on the line. What does he say? Philippians chapter 1, he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul is saying, listen, when it comes to a life that is not wasted, it means that ultimately it's just me willing to sacrifice everything for God. Not being ashamed of the relationship that I have with Him. And Paul realizing, I can't take any of this with me except my relationship with God. As I head. And then we read a passage that so many times is read at funerals, and it's a great passage. It's an encouraging passage, but it reminds us so much about what's important. Paul in Philippians 1, the next verse, 21, he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. A life that is not wasted is that we realize that for us to live is Christ. That God has called us into His family, to be a part of His mission, to be a part of His plan, and everything that He's given us, our entire life, is a part of that. From the car we drive, to the money we make, to the friends that we have. All that in this life are not bad things. But if we understand that to live is Christ, and that ultimately, if our life is taken for us, it is to gain, because we gain the thing that is eternal. And that is a life with God forever. And so as we kick this series off, as we go for the next 3 weeks, I want to end with a statement that you can fill in the blank. The what you put there is up to you. But answer this question, fill in the blank. My life is about, I don't know. What's it about? What are you focused on? What's most important? Is it about getting ahead? Once again, God made us the way we are. He made us to, gave us the strong personality to get ahead, but is it about Jesus? Or is it about something else? You see, it's not about money, because money is neutral. But do you understand that when it's about Jesus, guess what? How I spend my money, how I give my money, will let people know of my relationship with Jesus. It changes everything. It's not about my kids. You know, they're kind of neutral. They're you know, you're going to love them. But if it's all about my kids, and it's not about Jesus, guess what? People are going to know how my love for Jesus, how I treat my children. They're going to know. Maybe it's your wife or your husband. You see, people are going to know your love for Jesus by how you treat your wife and your husband. Ouch. That one stings a little bit. You see, it's not about those things. Maybe you're single. And you may be focused on finding that person. I'm going to tell you what, God has a plan and a purpose for all that. But if that is your focus, how you do in your dating life says all there is to know about what you believe about Jesus and how you conduct yourself. And maybe it's about health. So many of us want to be healthy in the new year. Nothing wrong with any of that. What the reality is that all it takes is one phone call. And I know there are people in this church who've gotten that phone call. You see, if it's anything but Jesus, then it's temporary. It can be disintegrating. It ultimately will end up a wasted life. So I want to encourage you to come every single week. Invite somebody. But as we close, I want to tell you this. If it's all about Jesus, then you need to know something about our Savior. You need to understand something about the one that went to this cross. You see, Golgotha was placed outside the city. And isn't it interesting that Jesus, as he left the city, had to walk through the local garbage heap? They would take their garbage outside the city and they would dump it. And so Jesus, going to the cross, actually goes through the waste, through the landfill, to stretch out his arms on the cross. He went through the waste so that you and I would not have to live a wasted life. If you're here today and you don't know who Jesus is, maybe you do know who he is. But maybe for the very first time today you realize, man, you need to have a Savior in your life who can take the waste away. Maybe you view yourself as someone that's carrying a bag around just like this of garbage and you just can't seem to let it go. Listen, today is the day you can lay that down. Because when Jesus went to the cross, guess what? He took care of all your sin. So that you wouldn't have to live a wasted life. See, in light of all that, it changes how we live our lives. So let's pray together. This will be our opportunity to respond today. Several ways you can do that. If you want to come right down here, I'll be so happy to pray with you and introduce you to who Jesus is. And we can start a conversation. Maybe you just need to pray for your life in the sense of like, you know, I'm focused on the wrong things. And you just really want it today to ask God to help you in those areas. Whatever it is that you want to do today, maybe today you can even begin to pray and think about that person. You're like, you know, they need to hear this. They need to know. Maybe today you can just cry out and say, God, I don't want my life to be wasted. I want it to matter. God, show me where you want me to serve, even within this local body. So I'm going to pray, and when I'm done, that'll be your opportunity to respond. This area appears open for prayer. I'll be right down here. You can pray at your seat. Just open up your heart to what God is doing this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your love. God, we thank you that you have done everything on our behalf so that our life can not just matter for this world, but matter for eternity. God, you loved us so much and you thought, and even though we see ourselves as waste, Father, you see us as that precious pearl of great price that you were willing to pay everything to purchase. So, Father, I pray for myself and everyone here, Lord, that we'll open up our hearts to you, God, that we will begin to think differently about our lives. The stuff in our lives, God, may it not rule us, may it not own us, but God, we can turn it over to you and say, God, how might you allow me to use this to be a blessing to others? Maybe for the first time, Father, you might convict some that, God, they need to start giving you back just a portion of what you have blessed them with. God, whatever it is, I pray that we'll be open to what you're doing. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.